just thank the Lord for song service. I'll let the musicians go ahead and have their seats. Amen. As I said earlier, it's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. And last service that we have today is the last service of 2019. It's amazing how fast the year has gone by. But one year closer to that great day that we're looking for. Amen. I just want to say welcome to the house of the Lord. I want to ask you to continue to pray for Terrell Morrell. We've been praying for him, and I think the Lord has really helped him a lot. He's got the devil on the run now, and he's actually gaining ground. And so we want to thank the Lord for his undertaking, helping this brother. He's been through a whole lot, and so we know that God will get him through it, and he'll have a testimony. And you know, Satan's always defeated. That's just all there is to it. And sometimes we just have to press through some things and press on for a little bit. But Satan's always defeated. That's all there is to it. And so we just want to ask you to continue to pray until we see that brother completely restored and back in the service of the Lord. So let's go ahead and open our Bibles this morning. And we're going to begin reading in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 1 through 10. Then we'll go to the book of Galatians after that, and also 1 John. This was after the resurrection. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which had been prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And returning from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And now I want to read from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. And one last scripture, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. These are very familiar scriptures to us. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We want to just pray for a moment. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, come to this portion of the service of thy word, we know, Lord, as it's been said so many times, that any mortal that can read and has strength in his body can turn the pages of the Bible, can read. But it takes you, Lord, to open the scriptures to us, to expound to us, let the Holy Spirit just reveal to us the depths and the many layers that are there. And Lord, so we realize that in this last moments of 2019, we desire, Lord, to see the God of this day. You said that you are the I am, not the I was or I will be, but the I am. You're always present tense. And that means today in 2019, as it closes out and 2020 opens up, Lord, you're still alive and you have an expression for this day. You have meat for your people in this day. You have a walk for your people to walk in this day. We believe that, Lord, and that is the thing that we desire. We just want to be near you and want to be associated with you in this hour. And so, Lord, we just ask God in this service this morning, you'd speak to our hearts and call us to the attention, Lord, and call us to attention too, the living word for this day. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can be seated. And so we thank the Lord. So this being the last service of the year, a lot of times people have a watch night service. We will not be having one. But so I just was going to kind of talk to you this morning about our New Year's resolution. And, you know, I'm not much of one for New Year's resolutions, but I believe that Christians do have a New Year's resolution, and it's probably the same year after year. It should be the same. And our New Year's resolution should be that we want to allow more of God to live and express through our lives. That's the cry of the Christian's heart. So you know that anything that's living, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's an animal or a person or whatever, in order for that life that is in them to live, it has to have preeminence. Because there's all kinds of things that would come against that life to try and destroy it. There's diseases, there's sicknesses, all kinds of things like that. And you know, when life is living, well, it just snuffs those things out. Stuff that comes at it, try and hinder it, it just puts it under. That means that life has preeminence. It has preeminence over everything, and nothing else can rise to power because it has preeminence. And so, and that's the same way with the Christian walk. We as Christians, to be overcomers, we have to have Christ as a preeminence in our life, because there are many things that come at us to try and destroy us. And so he has to be number one in our lives. And if we ever find ourselves in a place where he is not number one, we're going to be overtaken. Right? And so this is why Christians constantly, and this has been the way it has been for me, and you talk to others, and it's that way with others, that a Christian, once you give your heart to the Lord, obviously the devil's got a bullseye on your back after that, but when you give your heart to the Lord and now you're serving him, you have a constant desire to please the Lord, to walk with the Lord, to have more of him working in your life. That's what a Christian life is. And you're constantly looking at yourself and saying, am I pleasing to my God? Right? That's exactly right. And so our New Year's resolution should be, and I believe it is for every Christian, is that we just want to allow more of God into our lives. And I say allow, okay, because you're the hindrance. Right? God wants to do more in your life than you can even consider, as he says, that you can't even imagine, you can't even ask or think of the things that he has for you, right? But he's got such great things for you, and he wants to live through you more than you want him to live through you, believe it or not. And so that is the desire of a Christian, is that we would allow and have more of God to live in us. You know, the scripture said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, right? Let. Because you are the hindrance to it, right? You have to let that be you. And the scripture said, when it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And the scriptures is telling us as believers to let that kind of thinking come into our mind. Let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, right? That we begin to think like him. And the thought that he had was that he was equal with God, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's not robbery. You're not stealing from God to be equal with God. See? So God come down and lived in Christ, right? And now the scripture is telling you, because Jesus said, now as he sent me, now I'm going to send you and I'm going to go in you. So now you're going to be equal with me as I'm equal with the Father. And it's okay for you to understand that deity is living in your flesh. It's not robbery. And you've got to let that kind of thinking come into you, because normal way of thinking won't allow that. People would tell you, that's heresy. It's heresy to say that God lives in you. Well, they thought it was heresy that God was living in Christ. But it's not heresy. We're right in the scriptures when we talk about this. Right where the scriptures, right what God has committed to us. And so this is the thing that we as Christians should be seeking after and longing for, is to have that mindset and that Christ in us so much that it's him that expresses himself through our lives each day. I don't want to express myself to you or to anyone else, because I will disappoint you. But if I can get myself out of the way and you can get yourself out of the way and Christ can live through us, when that happens, then great things take place and nobody's going to be disappointed. Right. See, so that should be our set point. You know, in modern technology, they have something called a PID loop. Proportional, integral, and derivative is what that stands for. And what it is, it's a control system so that when you want something to be controlled in a certain way, you use this technology to get your product to be exactly what you want and follow it as closely, as quickly as possible with as a little error as possible. And so that's our whole thing is to follow what God wants us to be in this hour. I'm not interested in trying to be what he wanted Christians to be 2,000 years ago because we're living today, 2019 going on 2020. We want to know what God's set point for us today is, and we want to get there as quickly as possible and have as little error in our lives away from that word. We want to be as close as possible. And so God wants us to seek after him. You know, the scriptures let us know that he looks down through the lattice at us. And you know what lattice is? It's that stuff that's partially closed. We have some out here on the fence, you know. And so when you're looking through lattice, you can't quite see perfectly. You get glimpses of him, and you get glimpses of him through the word. As he looks to us down through heaven of the word, he looks to us, and we see him, and we love what we see, but we want to see more. See, he purposely hides himself from us sometimes to see what we're going to do. And he wants us to seek after him. He wants us to show him, as you know, he knows, okay, he knows whether we love him, but you know, we have to act out the very walk that we have. And so he'll show himself to us, but then we've got to seek after him. And we go, I love what I see in the scripture, but I want more. And I won't be satisfied until I see all of it. Right? That's the way it works. We want to see all of him, not just part of him. Not just the man that walked up and down the shores of Galilee 2,000 years ago. That's not enough for me. I want to see him in the fullness of his word for today. Right? Because he's not coming in this day like he did 2,000 years ago. This day when he's coming to take his church home with him. See? He's not going to walk in here like he did 2,000 years ago as a man in flesh. The body that they looked upon that hung on the cross. That's not how it is. He's coming the way he said he was, and he's coming in the power of his word for this day. And that's what we want to see. That's what we want to get as close to and walk with as little error as possible. And so he wants us to seek after him. You know, when my wife and I were getting to know each other, and I was away at college. Now, she could say, well, you know, if he likes me, he just come see me. I'll just sit right here. I'm not going to pay any attention to him. If he wants me, he'll come see me. What kind of a testimony would that have been? What kind of a draw? What would that have said to me if my wife had not wanted to put forth any effort to try and spend time with me? Right? But you know what she did? She'd come see me, drive a couple of 2.5 hours to get to me. And, you know, at that time, it was making them not much more than minimum wage. That wasn't too easy. But she'd come to see me, and she'd call me on the phone, and every month have a $200-$300 phone bill. Right? Isn't that right? She would. Make her shake her head so everybody can see that. That's the truth. Well, that spoke to me. That told me something. That let me know that she really loved me, or she really wanted to be with me. See? And so, you know, like I said, we act out our own walk. And even though God knows what's in our heart, we have to act out. We have to find out what's in our heart. We have to come through and walk through and until we get to the place where we know how much we love him and flesh it out. We use that word to flesh out that belief and that love for him. And if we love him, we will seek after him. Right? We will. We will seek after him. And so, when we do seek for him, where do we go to look for him? Where do we look to find him? So we see here in the scriptures where they came, Jesus had been crucified, and they put him in the grave. And after the Sabbath was over with, they came, as was custom, to bring spices and so forth to anoint the body. And so they came there, and when they came there, He wasn't there. Because he was not dead. He was alive. And so try and paint a little picture here is that it was tradition that when a man dies, he stays dead. And it was tradition that when he dies, after a little while, they go and they anoint the body with all these spices and so forth, anointing it for death. Tradition says that when he dies, he's dead, he stays there. And so we have a certain little way that we go through, and we go through this little process, and we have a funeral, and we mourn, and we go and anoint the body with all these ointments and so forth. And this is what we do. This is the standard way of doing things, because this is what happens. This is tradition, see? And so we do this, and when we go go to the grave to anoint and to do all these things, and we want to go there and mourn and so forth, we go to the graveside, to the sepulcher, and the reason why we do that is because that's where dead people are. But Christ was not dead. And because he wasn't dead, that was not the appropriate place to go to find him. It was not the appropriate actions to give service to him now. Because he's not dead, you don't need to go anoint his body with all these things. That was already over with, right? So they were looking and coming, and the angel said, well, why do you want to come here and find the living among the dead? And this is the same thing. I want to type it to our own experience today. It's because Christ is alive today. And you can find out the tradition of man. Tradition, something you do over and over and over from a past bygone day. Tradition always leaves him somewhere in the past, and you're celebrating the past. But he's the living word. So he's alive today, he's doing something in the midst of his church today, and he's alive, he's the I Am, and he'll be alive tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. And we want to walk with the living word of the day, not something he did yesterday or 2,000 years ago, but what he is today. That's what we want to walk with. And the scriptures let us know that it's when we walk that like that, that's when we have access to Calvary. That's when we have access to having our sins cleansed. And I'll go over it here in just a minute because we read it. But that's how we have access. We do not have access to the cleansing of our sins just to know and that there was a man 2,000 years ago that died for us, and his name is Jesus. That doesn't do any good until that one that hung on the cross becomes real and alive to you and in you today. That's when your sins are taken care of. You can't have an empty confession and have your sins taken away. So the scriptures let us know, as we'll talk about it here in just a minute, but we don't want to seek for him where the dead are. And so you cannot find him in tradition because he's alive. Right? He's alive. If I would say, this afternoon I'm going to meet you at Walmart, we'll do whatever. Well, it ain't going to do you any good tomorrow to go to Walmart because I'm not going to be there tomorrow. Right? You've got to find Christ where he is in your day. And that's where you'll find him, and that's where you'll know him personally. He only expresses himself through the Christ of your day. And that's how you get to know him, not some other day. And so that's the fallacy. So tradition of man, denominations, bygone days. Yes, he was there at that day, but where is he now? Right. That's the thing that you got to watch for, see? And so it's okay to know those things. It's okay to know church history. But unless you know him alive today in your life, that he speaks to you. I was telling my little grandson yesterday, he said, well, how's the day going, Papa? And I said, well, I've had better and I've had worse because I was having to repair some pipes that had been leaking. And I said, but it's a good day because I've been talking to God and God has talked to me. And I wanted him to understand and begin to learn that concept that as Christians, we as believers, we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We talk to him and he talks back to us, and it's always good to hear his voice. Right, hearing in the voice of his word. And so we want to find him now. And if we go to tradition, if we go to bygone days, if we go to the traditions of man that says, well, this is the way it is, Christ isn't alive today because where he's living now is in our tradition. You're not going to find him because he's alive. He's not among the dead. He's among the living. And so you see that our own walks, in our own Christian walk, we can be serving a God of a yesterday when the scripture said he's the I am. And so you can't find him that way among the dead. Amen. So we seek for him where he's living. So as we seek for him, we're looking for him where he is. Not in tradition, but in a living word for our day. We measure our walk with God. As I said at the beginning, all of us Christians, constantly, we're checking ourselves up. We should. We know from the word that we should constantly check, and we do. There's something in us that constantly is checking our walk and our position. Am I pleasing to God?
Right.
We constantly do that, trying to get that to match that set point of what God's word is for the day. That's where he has it set, and that's where he wants us to be, is the living word for the day. And so he wants to express himself through us as the living word of this day. That means that as he comes into us and expresses through us, he's not desiring to express somebody that hung on a cross 2,000 years ago. That's not what he's doing right now. But he is expressing himself today, and that's what we want. And so we measure our walk with him, and one thing that we know is we are fruit inspectors. Jesus said, you'll know a tree by its fruits, right? And you do. You know a tree by its fruits. As the scripture's talking about a fountain of water, it can't give off good water and bitter water at the same time. It don't work. And a good tree, now listen, this is Jesus talking, okay? It's his words. You read your Bible, you know what it says is, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. You know what? We're trees. Scriptures type us as trees, right? And types us many ways. So a good tree, a Christian tree, is not going to be bringing forth evil fruit, right? Now we know in our flesh, that's an evil tree. We know that. That wasn't born again. But inside us, that creature that's born of God, that creature is not to be giving off bad fruit, right? So we become fruit inspectors, and we realize that is that anointing of Christ in our lives, then it anoints us and it comes out and subdues the flesh and makes this flesh that is not born again, makes it come into submission to the Word of God. We realize that, okay? And so we are fruit inspectors, and therefore not just for fruit inspecting of other people's lives, that's so much, but to inspect our own lives, to look and say, am I pleasing God? Is this mindset or this attitude I have over a certain situation, is this Christ? And we should always be looking at that. And anytime we find that our attitude or our actions is not Christ for our day, then we need to back up and find him for our day so that we live him in our day, regardless of what's happening. Everybody follow me? You want to live him so that when troubles rise, he's the one that deals with the situation. Because if I deal with it or you deal with it, it's going to be a sad day. But if he comes forth and you die and lives with you, then it's a good day. And so we measure our walk by examining the fruit of our walk. And the scripture said in Galatians, we read that just a little while ago, that the fruits of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and meekness, gentleness, right? That's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the capital S, P-I-R-I-R-T, Spirit, capital Spirit,
right?
Holy Spirit, not just a Spirit, but Holy Spirit. And so the fruits of the Spirit is love and gentleness and meekness and so forth. These are the things that are to be resident in your life because he's there, right? We all understand that. But now, you understand that for the scriptures to say that the fruits of the Spirit is love and meekness and all that, then without that, without Christ in your life, you can't have those. And so the world and Satan and tradition and all that, they'll try to tell you, oh yeah, well, you have meekness and gentleness and all that so forth, But because this scripture says this is fruits of the Spirit, it comes from Him, then if you don't have Him, you don't have the real love, meekness, joy, temperance, patience, the fruits of the Spirit. You might have an imitation. You might have, because there's all kinds of religions out there that have humility and kindness and so forth that would outshine a lot of people, right? But that's not from the Spirit. What we're talking about is what comes from the Holy Spirit. That is His fruits. And it comes by having a relationship with Him. And so outside of that, you will not have those things in the fullness. You might have an imitation. And so we know that. But the Scripture said that these fruits of the Spirit, they're against such, there is no law. Right? So, you know, I quote to the church quite often that we're born not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. And so, you know, God does not have to sit and go, you know, I gotta resist the urge to do something bad. No, He doesn't have that problem, because there's nothing in Him to want to do bad, right? He's the fountain of everything that's right and everything that's good. There's nothing bad about Him. So He doesn't struggle with those things like you and I. We struggle because we have Satan trying to get us to do those things that are bad. We have the Holy Spirit that wants to live in us and do those things that are right. You follow me? And so, as a believer, you know, we come down and we realize in the Old Testament that God gave all these laws and it was a schoolmaster until we come to Christ. And so there's laws that says do this and don't do that and do this and don't do that. And law of carnal commandments and don't eat this and don't do that. All that stuff's laying there. But when Christ came, He was not born after all those do's and don'ts like that. He was born after the power of an endless life. A life that doesn't even have to look at the bad because it has nothing in it to want the bad. He's a power of an endless life. And that's the thing we're birthed to. So when that comes down and lives within us, our life automatically, and now you automatically have someone in here in you that lives, and he just does righteousness, right? Now in your flesh, you have the pull for the other things. But the closer you can walk to him, the more you can walk in righteousness and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's why we said it is our desire to be more like him, to surrender more, because the closer I can walk with him, the more righteousness he can live through me as I surrender to him. And so the scripture said, there's no law against, there's no law in God's laws against fruits of the Spirit. If you can get the Holy Spirit to come into you and live in you, and live out love and meekness and joy and temperance and patience and all that, you'll never find God condemning that. There's no law against it. Right. See? There can't be. Because that's the very essence of God in the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, as it says in another place. The kingdom of heaven being righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so that's true. But outside of Christ, all you can have is an imitation. And the world has all kinds of imitations. They want you to think, oh, that this is living it. They want you to think that, oh, the more beer you can drink, the more you're living it. No, you're not. And anybody who's been there knows that. Right? You're not living until you die in yourself and let Christ live in you, because he's the only form of eternal life, Zoe, God's own life, which was manifest in Christ Jesus. So all we can have is an imitation if we have something else. So now, having fruits of the Spirit in our life, now we know what we should seek for, and we know how we measure God in our lives is the level of fruits of the Spirit, level of Christ living through us. Then if we can have fruits of the Spirit in our life today, the only way that can happen is if we are connected to the Christ of our day. Not a historical Christ. Because somebody out of history books doesn't do me any good. You've got to know him living today. Right. And so in order for us, in all these troublesome times, with all the nonsense going on in our government and all the things around the world, with all this trouble that we know Scripture said that men's hearts would be failing for fear, looking for those things that are coming, When all that's unfolding, the Christian can have love, peace, joy, meekness, kindness, gentleness. Right? Why? Because he knows Jesus Christ in a personal, Christ lives in him. See? And so to have those fruits of the Spirit evident in your life today means you have to be connected and associated with Christ that he's living in you. You have to know him in that resurrection, that he is resurrection in you, living in you. That's the only way that you can have it. So that when all the things that are happening, causing everybody else to fear and everybody else to fight and bicker and everybody else to go off in the ways of the world and go after this and go after that, that we as believers, we don't go that direction. Why? Because we are tied to an anchor. We're tied to the power of an endless life that doesn't go after those things. So the closer we can tie to him, the less hunger that we're going to have for all this other stuff. Right? Because that hunger for all those other things other than him, the scripture says that if you have a love for the world or the things of the world, the love of God's not in you. But if you love God and you'll seek after him, then you begin to shut out these other things. You don't need what humanity tells you you got to have. You don't need what they try to tell you in schools and so forth. You don't need those things. What you need is those things that tie you to Christ, to him and him alone. And so having the fruits of the Spirit means that you're going to have a connection with him in this hour, and while everybody else is going off in the wayside, and not you. And so the scripture said, and I kept saying a while ago, we're going to get to it. If she wants to bring that up, she can. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. The scripture tells us that gospel is light, truth, because it shows you how to walk in a dark day. And so the scripture said that if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have, if we walk in the light, what if we don't? Right? Remember the children of Israel? When that pillar of fire or that cloud would go, they had to take up their tents and follow it. And when he had stopped, they had to stop. Because if they kept going, they'd get out from underneath his protection. Or if they stayed behind when he moved forward, they'd get out from under his protection. So God is light, and he moves, and he moves through the ages. And he was Christ 2,000 years ago, and he was Christ 1,000 years ago, and he's Christ today. And as he moved throughout history, and he's acting out the living word for his day, the church has to follow him in what he is living for the day. And if we decide that way back 100 years ago, what Christ was then, and we follow that, and then when he moves on to further his gospel, we want to stay behind, then we're getting outside of the light. So the scriptures show us, and paraphrasing it so you understand what I'm saying, is if we follow him as he comes forward with a manifestation of Christ for our day, that maybe he wasn't doing 200 years ago or 1,000 years ago. See, we've got to follow that and stay with him. And so if he is moving forward, we've got to move with him. But what happens if we don't? And this is where I was saying, we have access to the cross through this. If we walk in the light as he moves, see, as he goes and he's the living word of the day, don't hang behind with something else. Move with him as he goes forward. So if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we do, then here's the condition. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. Right? What if you don't walk in the light? What if you don't move as the gospel goes forward? What if you don't? Do you have access to your sins being taken away? According to this right here, if we do that, then we have access. See? And this is what people need to remember. You've got to move forward with God as he goes to have access to those things that he has for us if we walk in the light. So, as he has moved forward, he wants to be the living Christ of the day. He wants to anoint us for this day. Then there is a certain anointing, a certain expression, a certain life that Christians will live today. We know through church history that when the Catholic Church had the church world all locked down under dark ages, there almost wasn't any such thing as a Protestant. It wasn't even called Protestants then, but almost no true Christianity whatsoever. And God raised up Martin Luther with the message of the just shall live by faith. And he defied the Catholic Church, and God was with him, and he was able to bring a reformation and start a movement, a Protestant movement, to protest the Catholic Church and what became known as the Protestant movement. Luther, and that was what God was doing in that day. In that hour, when the Holy Spirit moved, he was moving on Luther. And when the Holy Spirit moved in the people, he was moving the people to believe what Luther was bringing. And that was the light for that day. But that is not the light for this day. See? So we can't hang back to some previous thing. We've got to go with that which is truth for our day. And that's where we'll find Jesus Christ. He's not among the dead. He's among the living, because he's the living Christ. Amen. So, the Christ of our day anoints us to be what he wants us to be in this day. And what he wants us to be in this day, the anointing is an eagle anointing. Now, you say, what does that mean, Brother Tony? So we know that the Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit today that fell on the Pentecost, day of Pentecost. Right. Same one that was in Luther's day, Wesley's day, Pentecost. Now, we have the same Holy Spirit. But as he comes, he acts out what he wants for that day, not what it was some other day. And so we know that throughout history that the early church was the seed of God. And for that seed to bring forth harvest time at the end, that seed had to be planted in the ground and die, as it were, and then come forth to bring forth fruit to God. And so that which the early church had, Christ in the early church, will come forth at the end time. There will be a harvest time where there's a church that comes forth in that strength of what was originally planted. But in order for it to go from being planted to come to harvest time, it has to be buried and be as though it was dead. And then after some period of time, it comes forth in a plant that doesn't look like the final thing, but it's moving in that direction. And there's different stages of that plant that comes along, and eventually it comes to harvest time. We understand that concept. So it has to be that there's that process that he goes through. And so when it had to die, go under the ground, first the gospel had to go forth to the nations there, as we know Apostle Paul did, took it to all the different ones there. And so, but then that gospel had to, as it was dying, looked like it was a seed that had been planted, and then it come forth. And so these ages were typed out by the what we know to be the four living creatures, the lion, the ox, the calf, or the ox or calf, the man, and the eagle. And so this is the history of the New Testament church. So as that early church went forth in the strength of Christ, he was the lion of the tribe of Judah. They were anointed, and they took that gospel out bold, and they took it out there and got it to the Gentile nations, right? But then it had to come underneath death to lay in that ground as though it was dead. And that was when the Catholic Church took over and brought persecution and had 1,000 years of dark ages. That was the ox. That's when they were sacrificed left and right. They were martyred. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. So the early church went from a lion to now a calf, a beast, a creature of sacrifice. Right? And then after that, he anointed Luther to defy that Catholic Church. After 1,000 years of dark ages, God raised up Luther, and Luther was able to defy that Catholic Church, start the Protestant movement, and Luther had the anointing of a man. The lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. And so Luther, and then come along Wesley of the Methodist age, and then the early Pentecostal age, all of those are in the man, under the man anointing. But the last one, the scripture said, was a flying eagle. And these were the anointed. In other words, the Holy Spirit, when he got on to the early church, it was the same Holy Ghost, but he caused the people to act out the boldness of a lion. That's all we could do for their day.
Right.
But then that same Holy Spirit, when it come time for the church to look like it was dead in the dark ages, then the same Holy Spirit anointed his people for that day to give themselves a sacrifice, as a calf would be, to be slaughtered. That same Holy Spirit that was the Lion of the tribe of Judah, now he knows how, because it's a new day. It's a different day. Right? So he anoints the church to be this ox, this calf. And it looked like the Catholic Church had total, complete, had snuffed the thing out. But remember, God's the one doing this. And so when he got ready to come forward, he just changed, same Holy Ghost on his people, but he changed the anointing from the ox or the calf sacrifice, no longer going to be martyred. He changed it from that to the intellect of man. And man, that's when they learned to make the printing press, start printing the Bible. And Luther, just simply with the wit of the thinking of a man, was able to defy the Catholic Church and got by with it. Man can't do nothing. But when God anoints him as a man, to go forth as a man, it's God behind him expressing that attribute of a man. And that's why Luther was able to defy the Catholic Church and get by with it, because it was God behind him, but he was anointed just simply with the character of man, which speaks of the intellect and the reason and the thinking of man. But the scripture said that the last one was an eagle, the last anointing upon the church. So here at the end time, the same Holy Ghost that anointed the church as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, then anointed as an ox, then anointed as a man, now at the end time, the Holy Spirit says, okay, we've hit a new time. Now I'm going to anoint my people as flying eagles. In that hour, if God is moving on the church at all, he is wooing and drawing that church to be flying eagles. That Holy Ghost living through them. Now I said, we've got to follow the Christ of our age. What is he today? He's anointing his people to be flying eagles. Not literally an eagle, but the nature in spiritual concept as being eagles. And so that's what he's doing. And once you turn that corner, once we go a new day, and God has now switched to the anointing of eagles, God is not going to anoint people to go back and be intellect of man, because it's a different day. So you find out that since we're in this hour where he's causing us to be eagles, causing us to be, and there's so much we could talk about, how that the lion, the ox, and the man, they're all earthbound, but the eagle's not. The lion, the ox, and the man, they all feed their young milk, but not the eagles, they feed their meat. They feed them meat, right? So there's characteristics. But the main thing I want to show you here is that the eagle is the one that can soar up and get above all the limitations. The lion, all he can do is jump a certain height and he comes back down. The ox the same way. The man the same way. But the eagle is the only one that actually has the ability to break free from the things that has held the lion, the ox, and the man. So that shows you that there are limitations that was on the church back in the days of the apostles when they were under the lion anointing. There were limitations under the ox anointing. There are limitations under the man anointing that the eagles are not limited to. So the eagles can go places that nothing, the church prior to this point has never been able to do what this end time church can do. They've never been able to. But the way they can do it is to come into the anointing of a flying eagle. It wasn't just an eagle, but it was a flying eagle. Because an eagle is the safest when it's in the air. Eagles aren't even very good on the ground. If you see them walking around, it's pathetic. But when they're in the air, they are top. Top notch, see? And so it shows you that God is bringing an end time church to the place where they are going to break free from all the traditional limitations of all that which is before. And I say it that way because once God has moved forward, that's just a tradition. That's dead, and he's not found there.
Right.
You're not going to find him in the dead.
Right.
You're going to find him where he's alive. And so once he has anointed us to be eagles, then you've got to expect in your own life, right now, you've got to expect, God, you have told me that in your word that I am an eagle. And now, God, you've got to manifest in my life things that were limitation to the church prior to this. You've got to do this. This is what we should look for. Because we're talking about a New Year's resolution to seek God, look for him for what he is. God, I want to be what you want me to be. And what he wants you to be is eagles. That means he wants you to be something that the church prior to this has never been able to do. Because they were always earthbound. And I say this many times, even converts, new converts, today can eat the meat of the word. They don't have to be fed milk. Because they're eagles now. But when you get into a group of people, they live by some tradition and something long ago, and you know, they just can't go that. Oh no, that's not so. Why? They're not eagles. They're earthbound. But God has called us higher. And so eagles don't have to contend. Eagles are not limited to those things that all the rest are limited to. And I'll call names, not to be calling names, but just to so you understand. But if the Baptists or the Methodists or the Catholics or the Presbyterians or the Pentecostals or Lutherans or Wesleyans, whoever, Methodists, if they're limited to something, that don't mean we have to be. Why? Because God is calling us in a new day to be eagles. We are not limited to the, and I'll say it this way, the unbelief of those systems. And you say, unbelief, Brother Tony, we believe something that God did. That's right, something he did back then. But he's doing something now, and if you can't believe that, then you're in unbelief.
Right.
He wants you to believe the Christ of your day. And so, we as eagles, we do not have to be bound down. We don't have to be drugged down with the unbelief and the conversations and limits of man, the limits of systems. If they can't believe it, that's fine, but let's go on to believe. Let's go on and soar into the heavens with God.
Amen.
Amen. And so, he anoints us to be that, to fly, and we do not have to be brought down to the place where the rest of them are. So now we find ourselves in this earth, where the entire earth church world is anointed, other than the eagles. They're all anointed with the man anointing, because that's the age we come out of, right? That's the age that is ending, and he's bringing us into eagle age. So now you've got, on the earth, you've got Christians who are identifying as eagles to believe the next message of God, and you got the rest of them that refuse to believe the next message. They're earthbound. They cannot attain to the things that God wants to do in this day because they're limited by unbelief and limited to the traditions of man. And it's a dead system because Christ is not there, because Christ is over here now and he's calling eagles. So they're limited. And so you have both here at the same time. You have a world full of man anointing, intellect, wisdom. You know, a man's a whole lot smarter than an eagle, a whole lot smarter than lion, the ox. Man is smarter than all of them. So now if you take an eagle and you put him upside by a man, and that eagle tries to wit the man's going to outthink him. The scripture said the children of this world are wiser than the children of the kingdom, right? So what I'm trying to show you is that God, as an eagle, he does not want you to even get into the mode where you're even talking to these people on man's level. Because if you're down here trying to convince, and you're trying to share the end time message, and you're trying to convince them, and you're debating, and you're all down here in man's, you're not soaring, and you're vulnerable. But God has called you just to set your wings and let the currents take you up higher and not even worry about those down below. Now, I'm not saying don't be a testimony, but I'm saying that as you walk in your life, you be that eagle that's flying and soaring. And if there's somebody out there that's an eagle that hasn't learned to fly yet, you're acting out Christ in your day will call that one. That one will realize, I'm an eagle too, and they'll learn to fly also. But you can't take somebody that's anointed for the man age, and that's all they're to be, you can't make them become an eagle. They're not going to do it because it's a different age. So don't even, so we're at the time where we need to just leave this behind and begin to soar out and look for God to manifest in our lives the thing he said he was going to do. Don't look for God to move in our church under the man anointing. Don't look for him to establish our church and for us to have programs and things like that, like man thinks we should have. Right? Listen, man's thinking, let me put it this way, under the man anointing, It's only common sense that a man should dress right and act right and speak right to fit the subjects he's speaking to, right? Only under a man's anointing, hey, if you want to reach the people, you gotta say, oh man, just right. You gotta button your coat or not button your coat, and you gotta walk a certain way because, I mean, that's the way you do it. Nonsense to an eagle. Could you imagine? They would never vote John the Baptist in to be CEO because he didn't look right, he didn't dress right, he didn't have the right food that he eat. You see what I'm saying? John was a prophet. John was an eagle. So in this hour where all the rest of the world is under a man's anointing, they're going to look at the eagles and go, them people are cracked. Them people are nuts. Look at them. Don't even listen to them. Just go right on out and soar out into the heavens above and don't even listen to it. Don't let it affect you. But they're going to say, oh, but remember when he prophesied this and it didn't happen? Nonsense. Man's intellect. Because remember, God just gives enough rope to hang themselves. So that if there's unbelief in their heart, they're going to go with it. And he gives them enough to do that. But the eagle, now remember, you might be down here and you've got a mountain here and you've got a mountain here and there's a mountain over here and a lake and trees and stuff. And you're sitting down here and you're like, the prophecy didn't happen. It didn't come to pass. He said he'd have a tent. He didn't have no tent. You know why you can't see it? Because you're earthbound and you see mountains and you see trees and you see all that. But then when you rise up as an eagle, the eagle gets up and he's above all the mountains. He's above all the trees and the lakes and streams and all that. And when he looks down, he says, it happened just exactly the way he said. The vision did come to pass. Why? Because you have eagle vision, because you can rise higher. You can see things they'll never see. And this is what I'm talking about. So when they say, you guys are nuts, you just remember it's because we see things that God has allowed us to see. That's it's up to them about that and between him and them whether or not they can. But we see it. We see that it is thus saith the Lord. It has come to pass. We do see that. And we know it's so. We're not just worked up. And the vindication of it is that eagles can fly. That's what, because you realize all those animals, that lion, he had to show that he had that strength of a lion. And how did he show it? By boldness of going out and taking that gospel right out in the midst of those Gentile nations that were heathens and putting it right in their lap anyway. Most everybody else would be afraid. That those calves, those anointed under the martyrdom, they had to prove that they were calves. How'd they prove it? They walked up there and put their head on the chop block. They proved that they were calves. They were sacrificed for God. And when it comes time for man to come with the strength of the wisdom of man, Luther proved that he had that because he walked right up there and nailed that 95 thesis on the door there and said, kosher, it's not the body of Christ. See, he proved that he had that wit and that intellect that God had anointed him with. And the proof of it was in what he acted out. Well, so it is today with eagles. The proof that we are eagles is the fact that we can fly above all the limitations of everybody else. That's the proof. Can you believe what God has told you for this day? Can you believe for a rapture, a body change, a change of your flesh to go into immortality? Can you believe it? And the truth is that eagles can prove that they're eagles because they'll just soar right up and we're not limited by all that unbelief. Amen. We believe it. That's the difference. So eagles, we don't have to be pulled down to those things. So when all the rest of the church world, the lions, the ox, the mans, when they all go, you can't fly, you can't do this, you can't say that you understand this revelation, you don't understand it. Well, if you're an eagle, you do. They can say, oh, you can't fly. And the eagle says, watch this. And he takes right off believing God's word anyway. Right. And in doing that, in believing that, then he's able to be freed from the restrictions and ultimately freed from the flesh into a body change. That's what it's referring to soar and go high. And so, yes, you as eagles, you can do things that they couldn't do. Yes, you as a child eagle growing up to be like mama and papa eagle, which is God. God likens himself as an eagle. Yes, you can be like your God. Yes, you can have this mind in you that was in Christ Jesus, that you can realize that you are in the form of God. He lives in you. That he's now tabernacled in you. And they're going to say to you, who do you make yourself? And we're just saying, we're just making ourselves who he said we are. That Christ is in us, that if you want to find God, you're going to find him in the movement of his age today, and that anointing of his movement of this age is now living in me. Amen?
Right.
And that brings me to an obedience of the word like it did him. Amen. So, we want to be eagles. So now God is showing us, I'm winding down now, so God is showing us visions of ourselves. And you say, what do you mean, Brother Tony? Well, you know, the scripture said the word of the Lord came to the prophet in a vision. So the word of the Lord is words that he speaks, but God can send the word of the Lord to a prophet, and a prophet sees it like a television. He can see it before his eyes as a vision. And what I'm trying to show you is that the word of God is the vision. And you don't have to see it with a naked eye like a prophet could look out and see it like a... But if you could see the revelation of the word, you're seeing the vision. And the vision is of what shall be, because that's what a prophetic ministry is. Prophetic ministry is the word of the Lord is to come to him and show things that are to come. So we're not prophets in the fact that we see it with our eyes as a seer. We don't see it that way, but we see the revelation of the word. And what do we see? We see a vision before us that I see myself as an eagle. And you see yourself as eagles, as flying above all the limitations. You see that by revelation. There's the eagle. There's the eagle vision. See, prophets see. Prophets see far off. And that's the old concept that when an eagle gets high, they've got vision. They can see way off out there to something that's not even here yet. Right? So a prophet can see things that hasn't come to pass yet. So now we don't see it as a seer prophet, but we see it in our spiritual revelation. We see Christ before us. We see ourselves as eagles. We see something that may not even look like it now, but we're looking way far off. Why? Because we as eagles, we have soared up and we have the eyesight and we see way off in the distance what God says we are. Right? We see the vision. And so now, what you are to do is to start moving toward that vision. Start acting out that vision. Even in the corporate world, they'll tell you, if you want a position higher than what you are, start dressing and acting the part. Right? If you want success, start dressing for success. If you want to be an eagle, start dressing and acting and carrying out what you see the vision before you says you are. If it says you can fly like Papa God, then you start flying like Papa God. And as we know the story goes, you might jump a little bit and come back down, but at least you got off the ground. Now jump again, finally you get up on a fence post out of the chicken pen, and eventually you will soar in the skies above. Amen. So we see eagles, eagle vision. They can see way far off, see what God has declared. And so as we start into this new year, we know what we should be doing. Let's seek after, not the dead. Let's don't go try to find Jesus Christ in the dead. Don't go look for him in denominations. Don't go look for him on the nightly news. You're not going to find him on CNN or Fox. You're not going to find him on Facebook. You're not going to... Let's don't go seek there. Let's seek the revelation of Jesus Christ that is before us. Follow after that. And let your New Year's resolution be that from starting this time, this next year, I am going to discipline my life more to shut out things where Christ is not. I'm not going to go to the graveyard like I used to. I'm going to go to where he's alive. And where he's alive is in that place in the heavens where he's calling his eagles. Come higher. Come higher. That's where he is. And he's screaming, crying, Junior, come higher. You're an eagle. You're not a chicken. Right? That's what he's doing. He's calling you higher. And so when you move forward and you want more of God in your life and you're looking, comparing, and constantly checking up, let the set point that you're trying to adhere to, let it not be man's thinking, not what man thinks a message church should be like. We're turning a corner here. Not what, because much of it is still man's anointing. Oh, well, you know, no. We want to turn the corner, and I don't want my life to be patterned after that thing. I want it to be nothing but thus saith the Lord, eagle vision. And when we go forward as a church, not for this church to be something that intellect of man says, oh, this is the way it should be. This is right. No, we want this church to be lined up with eagle vision. We want church conduct, order, and doctrine to be what was eagle vision. Amen? And we have it. We have that before us. We have that image before us that we can let that be the thing I'm going to do my best to get to. Amen. This is how we chase after him. This is how we look after him when he shows himself through the lattice. Hey, he has shown himself. He's shown himself mightily in our day through the lattice. And now he's saying, okay, now you follow me. You seek after me. And that's what we do. We seek after him. So, look for more of God in your own life, but not man's anointing of God, right? Or God anointed through man, but God anointed through a flying eagle. Let that be the thing. Let your desire and your position in this church and everything that we do as Christians, let that be to get an atmosphere in this place where eagles can learn to fly. Amen. Whether it's you or your children or your loved ones, to create such an atmosphere in this church to where they, eagles can be born, eagles can fly. And so under the anointing, I'll make it clear, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit in this day, he's calling people to be eagles. He's acting out eagle. He's calling them to be eagles because those bygone days are gone and it is time for rapture. And this is what he's doing. If he's calling at all, and you say, well, I have all these great big churches out here and they have these great big programs under the man anointing. That's fine, but they're not going in rapture. They are not going in rapture because you'll never go in rapture until you're under the anointing of the eagle. That's where it happens. The word of God makes that very clear. So, amen. Can eagles prove who they are? You bet you they can. I mean, it's not something we like. You're not going to go and you're not going to say, well, today I decide to be an eagle. No, that's not it at all. God does something in your life and you believe. That's what it is. And you can't make yourself to be something that you're not. And you can't, if you are an eagle, you can't make yourself be back to that other. The only thing that will satisfy you is food for eagles. And that's why the scripture said, there will be many come and say, I'm Christ, and go here and go there. He's in the desert. He's off over here, and you got to go there. He said, don't even look at all that, because I'll tell you where he's at. He's where that carcass is. And where that carcass is, that's where the eagles are gathered. That's the coming of the Lord. He's not here. He's not there. He's not low. You can't run. He is right where the food for the eagles are coming forth. And the eagles will gather around that. There's your coming of the Son of Man right there. Jesus said it. How much plainer could it be? But yet in our day, we have people, oh, you got to go over here and you got to sit underneath this ministry and you got to be. It's not that at all. All you have to be is at the place where that carcass is, of that word being coming forth, the eagle's food. Amen. Amen. And so if you eat that, then certainly you'll obviously be able to fly higher than ever before. May the Lord richly bless you. You've been a good audience this morning, a congregation to pull on the word with so many on gone on trips and stuff. Amen. God bless you. I'll let the musicians come. Do you love Him? He is good to us. I know that we say a lot of things. That's a lot to take in. Those of us, you know, have been listening and reading and studying for a long time, maybe it's not so much, but but I will tell you, if you will get into your Bible and you will read that Bible and you pray with sincerity and you say, Lord, I'm not going to come with any preconceived idea about anything, but if you'll get in your Bible and with sincerity pray and ask God to show you these truths, He will. And you will see that this is exactly what God is doing in this hour. He is calling His people to be flying eagles, not something else. Not programs of man. It's all going to perish. It's all going to burn. And the only thing that's left is what Christ does. Amen. That's what's going to be left. Amen. So let's just pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you as we come to the end of the service, Lord. We're asking God that you take these words that have been spoken and that you would commit them, Lord Jesus, to those that are listening and those who are here today. We're asking God that you just reach out to them and quicken something of thy word, Lord, that would lodge in their hearts and make them hungry. Lord, I realize in natural typing spiritual that when someone is eating on things that is not good for them, eating out of turn, then when it comes time for a meal, they're not hungry. They don't want nothing that's good for them. And they wind up having a sickness in their bodies because they haven't been eating right. Well, it's the same, Lord, in spirit, that people can feed on so many things that's out there. And then when it comes time, Lord, for them to sit and listen to your word, their minds drift and they go different places. But I'm asking God that those that have had the privilege, Lord, to, as we have today, to sit underneath the ministry of the word, whether it's here in this church or anywhere around the world where your truth is being preached, we ask God that you would get into the hearts of the people and what they've heard, and you would cause them, Lord, to meditate upon these things. Cause it to lodge down in their hearts, as Brother Daniel says so many times, that it would be in rich, fertile ground, Lord, that it would bring forth. We ask, Lord, that you'd bless each one. And those that are missing today, we ask, Lord, that you would just be with them and help them as they travel. May they come home safely. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's just worship the Lord for a moment or two. I think my voice is about to go, and I think Brother Tim is about to go a little bit earlier too. Amen.
So spread your wings.